Good morning, everybody, and welcome to OCC Online. Great to have you with us joining live this morning as we're going to worship together. We're just going to take this moment in this specific time of day right now to corporately come together. I know we're not physically together, but know that there are others from your church family, others that you may not even have met that have joined us online over this past year. We want to welcome you. If this is your first time online with us this morning, great to have you with us. If you've been right through each of the lockdowns, and as we start to go back into being in-person gatherings, and you've been with us, then thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for journeying alongside, just taking this time each week just to come together and worship. It's a reason for us to give thanks. And I've just been thinking about giving thanks this week, and I'm perhaps not the natural person that consistently can find things to give thanks about, especially in this past year. It's been hard, hasn't it, just to have that posture of giving thanks. But I was reading Ephesians 5, and in verse 20, after Paul has written about don't get drunk with the wine but that leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit shows that we're leading each other in worship. We're leading each other by how we speak with psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, making music to the Lord. And then it says in verse 20, give thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I was just reading that and I just thought, give thanks in everything. I just thought, wow, there's moments of my life where I find reason not to give thanks. The battles, the struggles, they're not things I want to give thanks for. And then I was just reminded of Romans 8:28 that says, God's working all things together for the good of those that love him. And actually, even those really challenging seasons that we've been through as a church, maybe you've been through throughout your life individually, there's reason to give thanks because God is working something in and through us. So as we gather this morning, we can give thanks. Whether you feel like you're in a valley and it's the toughest time, whether it's emotionally, mentally, circumstantially, whatever's going on, maybe with your health, you just feel, I've got nothing to give thanks for. This isn't ending and it just feels horrific. Paul encourages us, give thanks always for everything. So I want to encourage you right now, just as Alan starts to play, as we're going to start to go into some singing and our worship will be sung worship in a few moments' time. Why don't you just think of something right now? Let's just give thanks to God. Give thanks, Paul says, always for everything. Maybe it's giving thanks for that thing that has caused brokenness in your life and it's like it shapes you and God wants to say, actually, give thanks for what I can do in and through it in spite of it. Maybe in this moment it's giving thanks that circumstances aren't perfect and you might want to be in the same room with other people, but we give thanks that we can have this moment in our week where we're reminded of God and who he is, his love towards us, his story. We get to give thanks. So in this moment, why don't you just think of something? Maybe you want to just posture yourself physically. Open your hands and just posture your heart and let your physical body be a representation of the attitude of your heart, just in giving thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. The mighty hand and an outstretched arm, the psalm tells us. Give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. In spite of what you're going through, where you feel like God is so distant, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. For that which you've just lost, the absence of that loved one, that person that you miss, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his love endures forever. The sun is out, the sky is blue, there's not a cloud to spoil the view. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. The Lord is here, his Spirit is with us. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Father, we come before you right now and we posture ourselves for worship. We come and we say, you alone are worthy to receive all glory, honour and praise. But we thank you. We give thanks in this moment that we can even come and share praise in the chat and worship you as we sing or read your word right now as Alan sings over us. However it is we're going to engage in worship this morning. There's so many very different ways. Maybe just kneeling down, raising our hands, lifting a voice, saying a prayer, whatever our worship is this morning. We give thanks that we can come before you because you've made the way. We give thanks that there's breath in our lungs, that we can speak and declare who you are and we can live in this moment right now because you are God. You give us the very breath that we breathe. So we give thanks to you. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. There's something about coming into the presence of God with thanksgiving. It's an atmosphere of his glory. And so we come and we just give thanks, for he is good and his love endures. So we lift our praise and our worship to you this morning. As your children, to our perfect Heavenly Father, we love you and we worship you now, in Jesus' name. Thanks, Alan.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. What a lovely day. The sun's out. Thank you. You're so wonderful. You're so amazing. We give you thanks and praise. Bow before the Lamb. How wonderful you Earth and heaven. you call us friends. How amazing is our God. The winds and waves obey you. How powerful you are. For the blood, thank you for setting us free. You've set us free, no longer in condemnation. We approach you boldly now. Slaves, we're no longer slaves. We are children adopted in your family. How amazing you are. The truth has set us free. We are children. We are children of the conquering one. The wind and waves obey you. At your name the enemy flees. Hold everything in your hands. God of justice, God of peace, God of joy, God of healing. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. hit the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I am a child. I don't know this morning if there's anything that you're fearful of. Anything that you're anxious of. Or whether we could all, as we always need to, do with a bit of God's peace that passes all understanding, that just transcends everything, that truly satisfies, that truly fulfills, that truly heals. So let's sing and declare this amazing truth this morning. We're His children. We were called before the creation of the world to be adopted into His family, to sit in heavenly places with Christ, with all of heaven's riches and glory at our disposal. Your children, God, send us out in the power of Your Spirit, Lord. Send us out, Lord, for what You, Lord, for what You are going to accomplish, Lord, where we are in our workplaces, Lord, in our towns and cities. Send us out in the power of Your Spirit. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I won't fear no more. I am a child of God. I walk in boldness, declaring Your truth. I am a child of God. I'll spread Your fame. I'll take Your love. I am a child of God. Lord, send us to the people You see. I am a child of God. Break our hearts, Lord. Break our hearts for what breaks Your. Lord, we carry Your presence and peace. I am a child of God. I am a child. I am a child of God.
Just encourage you. Let's just keep thinking that out. Let's just keep declaring. Make that a declaration. I am a child of God. Make that declaration over you, over your family. We're children of God. I am a child of God. Saying it to the heavenlies. I'm saying it to the unseen. I'm seeing it, saying it to the world around me. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. So while we were worshiping, I was just asking God, what do You want to say? What do You want to do? Just while Alan was just praying. Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. There's some that are just living with a perpetual guilt. And you don't understand, you don't fully know why. It's just, there's just something of, I'm not measuring up. I can't make that declaration that I'm a child of God. We don't make that declaration based on who we are. We base it on the fact that we are now children of God, because there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. We can make that declaration because of who Jesus is, not because of who we are. And we can make a declaration based on who he is. And so I'm a child of God, is secure and steadfast because who he is. There is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You can make that declaration this morning. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. And I was just reading it in the Message version. And just one word jumped out that I just felt God just wanted to minister into this morning. It says, with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ's being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. And I just felt, just as I read that, low-lying black cloud, continuous low-lying black cloud. There's some that's what you're experiencing at the moment. There's a continuous low-lying black cloud and you can't put your finger on it. You don't understand it. And we're just going to pray that the Lord is here, his Spirit is with us, that he would just come and shine a light upon you. For some, I just felt like you can't see him because of the cloud around you. You can't see him. God's saying, can you hear me? Just stop and pause. Maybe even, dare I say in this moment, maybe even mute us. Mute this service right now. I'm quite happy for you to mute me in favor of hearing God. So maybe what God is saying in this moment, you're saying I can't see him. And he's saying to you, can you hear me? Because he's singing over you. He's speaking over you. He's affirming his love over you. So you might just want to hit the mute button and just let God, for the rest of this time that you've got this morning, just let God speak over you. Maybe open up his word, the scriptures, and just let him speak over you from those. Just felt for some of the black cloud, maybe there's work issues that you're facing. Just felt that just a boss, there's someone who's struggling with their boss. I just wrote that down, that there's issues with your boss. It's like a black cloud that it's just all consuming. Invite God into that. Invite God into those moments. Those with health issues, mental health issues, those with a stomach issue on their left-hand side. Just start praying God would just come and heal wholly. For some, it's been a long-term illness. God is not removed from that. And you just need to say, God, will you just come? There's this black cloud that's surrounding me. Will you just come? I'm no longer a slave. I'm free in you, God. I'm a child of God. Give thanks in this moment. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. Start to give him thanks. That which has shaped and defined you no longer needs to. You can give thanks. Relationships. So you've an issue with your children this week, a grown-up child, and there's just conflict there. And you just need to pray that God's Spirit would just come and invade and flood your circumstances and your situations in that relationship. There's others. I want to encourage you. Why don't you share on the chat if you just want to encourage? That's the only criteria we have this morning, is that what you share will encourage and build up those in the family of God, those that are watching this morning that may not even know Jesus. Maybe you just sense God is saying there's someone that I just want to touch this morning, and he's putting it on your heart because he wants that person to know he cares so much about them that I'm going to tell someone else to say, I'm going to pray for you right now. So if God's putting something on your heart, why don't you share in the chat and why don't you start praying for that person right now? Because God cares so much for that person, he'll stir your heart to pray for them. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that how good God is? We're just going to continue. Alan's just going to leave us in this moment, just for a couple of minutes, as we just start to pray for each other. Maybe you don't, nothing in this moment. I don't need prayer. Just start to pray for others in our church. Start to pray for others around you in your family and in your life. Just let your prayers flow towards those who are on God's heart. And so let's just pray in this moment. Alan, will you just lead us in a song for a couple of minutes, and then we'll move on. Let's just let God stir in this moment. Come, Holy Spirit. Lead our prayers, lead our worship right now. Your heart. Thank you, Jesus.
Storm surrounding me, break.
need to stay every way. At your name and peace, bring it all to peace. Storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name and still, call the sea to still, rage in me to still, every way.
It's great to see some people just engaging in the chat, just putting prayers in there, and we're standing with you. Can I encourage you? Why don't you participate in that chat if you're now live online and you can access the chat? Why don't you just encourage? Why don't you just put an amen, or why don't you just put some prayers as well? Let's encourage each other. No one knows who else is out there, but we can encourage each other, can't we? In this moment, I want to encourage you. We're just going to spend a couple of minutes. Just sense God. Just calling us a little bit deeper, and I just want to encourage us. The place of worship, the place where we bow down, the place where we declare Him as King, that place of surrender, it's also the place of His provision. The place of praise is the place of provision. What we see is Abraham is called by God to take his only son Isaac, that which is most precious to him, and to lay it down. and as he walks up Mount Moriah, God has the provision in place in that moment of surrender. As a lamb in the thicket at the top of the hill, God provides in that moment, in that place of complete surrender, there's provision. Mount Moriah becomes the place where King David builds the temple. It's the place of worship, place of provision, the place of worship, the place of surrender. It's all that same place. And as we bow our hearts down, as we worship him, there's something that takes place where God sees a heart that is surrendered to him, where we lay, where we offer a prayer for that which is before us, and we see a loved one and we think there's no other answer but you, Jesus. We're going to bring them to you. That which I love the most, I bring it to you. And we ask God, will you provide the place of worship, the place of surrender, the place of offering is the place of provision. Because God sees our heart and his favor and his love towards us. I want to encourage you in this moment. Let's just bring our needs before God. Surrender it to him. The fear, the things that occupy our thoughts, those things that you think are so small and minimal, you don't even think about bringing them as an offering to God, but let's bring them in this moment as an act of worship, place of praise. Let's give glory to God as the place of provision, where the temple is, where the sacrifices is, where God made the provision. As we come in this moment, we remember that we're coming in an atmosphere of worship and glory because God has made a way through Jesus. He has provided. So we come and we worship. So let's just come and worship right now. Let's just let Alan, as he plays the music, just let a new song start to rise. We're not gonna sing any words right now. For some of you, there's a new song. You're just gonna start to sing out, just a song of praise, a song of thanks. Just start to sing it out in your home. Just start to declare, God is King. We worship you. Maybe for some of you, you've even got a melody that'll start to accompany that, a new song. And God is saying over our church, there's a new song, there's a new sound, and it's going to start to impact the spaces and places around us. Start to lift up a new song. A song of praise and adoration. Some, you're making a proclamation, a declaration of I saw someone in the chat saying, let hardness become soft, let barriers be broken. Start to sing that out. Start to sing out God's kingdom invading the here and now. His kingdom breaking into the here and now. It's what we need. Your kingdom come. Kingdom come, Lord, kingdom come. Kingdom come on earth, Lord. Oh, oh, worship. us. Couple of things coming up in the chat. I'm reminded of Romans 12. It talks about outdoing one another with honour. Loving one another. Meeting each other's needs. Romans 12, 9, right through to the end of the chapter. Can I encourage us, church? Why don't you at some point this week encourage somebody in our church? Why don't you pick up your phone, text somebody? Why don't we open our hearts right now and say, God, will you stir me this week? Put someone on my heart. Yeah, we're praying for each other, but how about we physically do something to encourage each other? Spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. We all need it, don't we? We all need the encouragement of each other, and God has put us in a family to spur each other on. And we're brothers and sisters and brothers from different mothers, but we've got the same Father, same heavenly perfect Father. We can encourage each other to keep going, to keep running this race. It's easy to be tempted just to give up, isn't it? Don't know if that's been anyone else's experience over this past year. Just forget it. We can spur each other on. God has put someone in your life this week that you can encourage and spur on to keep pressing into God, to keep fixing their eyes on Him. So let's encourage each other. Just sense God just wanting to stir something in our hearts for each other. So if that's from God, then I pray that His heart would stir your heart this week just to spur each other on. And in that vein, just we're gonna sing us a song again in a moment just to help us focus. But spurring one another on. Why don't you, if you can this week, Ian Hesketh is going to be cycling some ridiculous amount of miles next weekend to raise money for church planting so others across the world can know of the love that we know of from Jesus. And he's going to be cycling the coast to coast next weekend. Why don't you sponsor him? All of us together, we can sponsor him just a small amount, maybe a few pounds to maybe some of you feel you could give more than that. And why don't you sponsor Ian as he gives himself? We can encourage him and we can support him as he does this ridiculous task. And hopefully we'll see him alive again after he's done it. But why don't you jump on that link that's coming up in the chat and on the screen right now, and why don't you support him? I want to also just share as well that we're hoping that on the 27th of June that we're going to have our in-person gathering. We certainly will have the gathering, but we were hoping it could be restriction free. I think for those that are watching the news, you probably realize that it's probably not going to be restriction free. We feel we're able to have more people in the room than we had last time, so we are Probably going to have this week a link sent through to be able to book your place. Please don't worry about making space for others, knowing the number of people away and the number of people that aren't comfortable yet being back in person. I think we'll have space. So jump on there. That's just for us to be able to place the seats where they're needed for that June the 27th. And then into July, we'll see how things go. And we're hoping that it can be restriction free, but we'll just see. And we're going to have every other week. So the second and the fourth Sunday of July, the second and the fourth Sunday of August and onwards, we're going to be meeting at the URC Church in person. So we'll keep the online things going as well, and we're going to have some other things happening, but in person will be happening on that second and fourth Sunday from July onwards. So I just want to encourage you for that. Next week, we're going to be online and we're going to be celebrating Father's Day together, just honouring the guys in our church, the boys and the men, and us as a church family. So it'll be a shorter service just to come and celebrate together. So if you're able to join us next week, 10:30, then please do. It'd be great just to celebrate that day together. But I just wonder in this moment, just as Alan leads us in a short song, let's just bring our offerings this morning. There's going to be a link that comes up in the chat. You can go to occ-stratford.org.uk/give if you can sow in financially into the life of the church. I just want to thank you for your generosity this morning and every week during this season. Just seeing your generosity as a church is just amazing. So Alan, will you just lead us maybe just in like a verse and a chorus, and then we're going to go straight into the talk, which is a great conversation that myself I'm going to have with Ian Hesketh and David Cunliffe just around Joshua. We're going to have a conversation about what we've looked at so far, what we see is significant in that book and for us as OCC. So settle down, get yourself a cup of coffee and enjoy as we give right now, and then we'll have that conversation, and then we'll draw things to a close. Thanks, Alan.
Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, the city of our God, the holy place, the joy of the whole world. Great is the Lord, in we'll be right back.
Well, for our talk this morning, we're going to do things a little bit differently. Usually you get one of us speaking to you, but this morning we're going to have a conversation. I know a number of people have said how they've enjoyed the conversations we've had, primarily Ian and myself, but we've got David with us this morning as well. And we're just going to have a conversation around Joshua, the book of Joshua, and that which we've been studying and its significance. And so, Ian, David, thank you for joining me this morning, and thank you for inputting into this. I'm going to play the kind of role of a little bit of question giver. So just let you guys dialogue and chat, and it's going to ask some questions as we've been exploring Joshua and what you feel the significance is. So David, let me ask you first, what for you is the significance of the book of Joshua within the whole story of God?
I think it's that we can see Christ working out both history and his story throughout every page. You know, the story where throughout eternity, God so enjoyed the triune unity of his Godhead that he decided he wanted a bigger family, and he created man in his own image and likeness, so that even the fall of man in no way took him by surprise, in that before even the foundation of the world, his love story continues to remain seamless and purposeful to the unveiling of the eternal plan of the God who was and is to come, redeeming a chosen people for himself. But the significance for me for the book of Joshua in this part of the story of God is that it portrays God's unbreakable covenant relationship with his chosen people Israel, and how that relates to current and end times. In Joshua's time, God is redeeming his people out of slavery and into the promised land, a foreshadow which will lead Israel to their future messianic fulfillment and redemption through the death and resurrection of Jesus on the cross, this time to purchase all who believe out from the slave market of sin and into the land of promised eternal life. That's really the significance for me.
Great. Ian, how about yourself?
Yeah, I think for me it becomes very evidently clear that God is far more committed to his promises than anybody else, really, that he's the one that's able to bring through to completion that which he starts and he commits to. So I think there's something quite significant about that. Do we really believe what God promises? Even when we don't always see it, you know, this is a whole moment of wandering in the wilderness, that, you know, you get those grumblings of people complaining, well, when are we ever going to get there? Oh, we would have been better in Egypt. And Moses taking the flak of that, you know, but then you get this moment in Joshua, the transition of God working out his story.
Yeah.
It wasn't Moses' story. It wasn't Abraham's story. It was not Joshua's story. It's God's story. And he works that out through people. A people called to represent him and to step into everything that he's purposed, I think. So that's, for me, some of the significance, I would say, in terms of the unfolding of God's story. He's far more committed to it than we are.
Just displaying his character and nature and his faithfulness, but wanting to partner with humanity to see that and how that unfolds.
Yeah, because he doesn't enforce it, does he?
Yeah.
You know, in the sense, he doesn't. It's this invitation to the people and stepping into that. You know, we've used that phrase quite a lot, I think, during the course of the series. That, so there's this invitation to step into what God has, and he's forming the people as well. It's not, you know. So there's this partnership that God wants between his purposes and his people, and there's this unison and union together.
I love God's grace in that. That what you just said there just made me think of the fact that God doesn't wait for Israel to be all that they need to be in order to inherit what he's got for them. He's forming something in them. And the wilderness experience does that, as well as the promised land, you know, and that of claiming that which God has already given them. He's forming something in them through those seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
How about the significance of the book of Joshua for us as a church? David?
Well, just as Ian said, I believe that the significance of this for at OCC is that in the entirety, the book of Joshua is about the constant presence of God with us, the redemptive work of Jesus himself, but it's also our part as co-workers with him. And it, this is where it all comes together. You know, we look at Joshua's birth name as being Hoshea, which means salvation. And I remember I looked at where Moses sent Hoshea, this Joshua, before as one of his representatives from the 12 tribes of Israel to spy out the land of Canaan before fulfilling God's command to enter and conquer it. And I saw it in Numbers, something weird. Just one verse, I think, Numbers 13:16, which said, these are the names of the men Moses sent out into the land to spy it out. But then it finishes with almost a throwaway verse, which says, Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, a new name, Joshua in English. I mean, you think, well, why did Moses give his protege a new name? And then we see the God involvement. It was because this new name of his didn't simply mean salvation like the old one, but this time we bring the Lord is salvation. Jehovah is the one that saves. And importantly, this new name of Joshua in Hebrew, Yehoshua, then brings the New Testament in because it corresponds to the New Testament name of Yeshua or Jesus. And that's important. So, you know, when we look forward prophetically to the coming of Messiah Jesus, Moses recognizes Joshua as a foreshadow, a type of Christ, one who would co-work with our Lord during every battle. And so this seamless story continues. We know from, I think it was, I'm going a bit further, which we haven't gone on to yet, but we know from Joshua 5 and verse 13 that even in Joshua's day, Jesus was the one who was always personally present as the saving commander who fought on Israel's behalf every single time Joshua went into battle. The plan of God was being fulfilled, and it was Jesus. You know, we can see where it was interesting for me where Joshua actually saw Jesus in effect, just as Moses had done years before with the burning bush. And the passage I've written down, it says, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua approached him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied. I have now come as commander of the Lord's army. Then Joshua bowed with his face to the ground in homage and asked him, what does my Lord want to say to his servant? The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did that. Flashbacks of Moses and the burning bush. It's God with us. You know, this is the whole story, God and man coming together, we co-workers with him. But going on a verse, it says, now Jericho was strongly fortified because of the Israelites, no one leaving or entering. The Lord said to Joshua, and this is it, look, I have handed Jericho, its king and its best soldiers to you. March around the city with all the men of war circling the city one time. Do this for 6 days. And as co-workers, it's all about our obedience, you know, working as co-workers with what he's already done and he's doing for us. So he was the commander of the Lord's army who worked his plan back in the time of Moses, the cloud by day and pillar of fire by night to redeem the children of Israel out of the slave mark, out of slavery in Egypt to his co-worker Moses, but that's gone now. Just as the law that Moses brought in was no use without Jesus was never sufficient to bring them out of slavery. So it proved with the completion of that same redemption progress to bring them into the promised land. That took the law plus Jesus as his new co-worker, Joshua, the one who was charged to take them in, soon found out. And I think that's, we come to see this now, of God with us, we are co-working with him for his seamless plan to carry on forward. Mm. That's for me is the, so it's all about in the book, all about the constant presence of God with us and the redemptive work of Jesus himself. Yes, actions at that time through his chosen co-worker Joshua was encouraged to step into his inheritance, but also so that way down the line, we too individually might recognize the need to step into our own inheritance, which Christ has won for each one of us too.
Mm. So I think centrality of Jesus and the cooperation of us in what he has done to be all that he's calling us to be.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ian, have go on, David.
I was just going to say, Ian, for me, last week, last Sunday, I think it was, brought it in to emphasize this necessity for us by faith to align our hearts to his, fully using the gift each one of us has been given to do that which God has already promised, and thereby actively step into our own inheritance as co-workers with Christ. That was very good for me last week, Ian said.
Good. Thanks, Ian. Anything, Ian, anything you want to bring?
Yeah, I think just trying to, unpack some of what David said, and that the idea of stepping into something, inheritance, land, the New Testament, and Jesus isn't about giving the church a piece of land. It's actually about Jesus reconciling and redeeming all things. That's the hope of that which is to come. And so as a church, we get to participate in his mission wherever we find ourselves. And so wherever our feet step, do we have the right to say, Lord, would you give this to us? I think we can in an appropriate level of delegated authority. So I think it's less than about geographical physical land for us. It's about the rule and reign of God in and through us as his people. So what does it look like for us to live that out in ordinary spaces, whether it's the work that we're involved in, whether it's in our schools as a teacher or as a pupil, or in the coffee shops that we go and sit in, or what does it look like for us to live that obedient life as a redeemed people? Because I think we live in this tension now of that which has been given and that which is yet to come. So it's not fully. Even at this point in the story, it's not fully given. Joshua's going to distribute the land, the land to the tribes, and they'll get their portion. And so we've been given an inheritance, but we don't fully occupy. Don't fully have it. So how do we live in light of that which is to come, but understanding that God doesn't withhold stuff from us that we need now, if that makes sense. And so I don't know what, hopefully this kind of fits within the context, but it's just a thought really this morning, as we're talking about this, that I read in a book called Transforming Mission by David Bosch. You might have read it, John. But he says this: the church already belongs to the redeemed world. It is that segment of the world that is obedient to God. So just in context, we're in occupying a world that didn't acknowledge God, didn't know God, but here we have a people who he's calling to be a redeemed people, to be obedient to him. It's a picture of the church. We're redeemed, and we live in a world that doesn't recognize the lordship of Jesus. So we have to display that. So he goes on, precisely because of this, the church is not preoccupied with self-preservation. It serves the world in sure hope of the world's transformation at the time of God's final triumph. think is interesting, because we don't just live with that which is before us, we live with that which is to come, and the story is God's, and it's his to give. So the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, you know, the things seen and unseen. But one day he's going to reconcile all things. So the response of us now is to live a life of obedience to God. And then he goes on. Passion for the coming of God's reign goes hand in hand with compassion for a needy world. So like we don't have the option to live a segregated life simply waiting for Jesus to come back. The obedience to God requires us to step into the broken world with compassion, identifying where people are in need, yeah, and connecting the rule of God with that very need. So for me, this book and where we are as OCC, I think that call really to step into this season has never been about self-preservation. In all honesty, I've never worried about the church, because I just believe that Jesus holds the church. He has his people. Yeah. So this is never been about how do we preserve what we have? Because if we preserve what we have, then it was never Jesus anyways. It was always ours. So how do we align what God has entrusted to us with his purposes so that we might fully step into all that he has? So I actually think there's a letting go of some things. You know, like just like the people had to let go of, well, you know, the grumbling. Well, wasn't Egypt great? Well, actually, no, it wasn't. It wasn't great. You've just forgotten some stuff. And the danger is we can look back at what was and think, oh, wasn't that great? Well, some of it was, but some of it wasn't, actually. Some of it was just a bit of a snare and a barrier, I think, to genuine, like, fullness of life kind of mission that Jesus called us into. I think there's some dying, and I think there's some picking up what's important to God that enables life to flow. Anyway, I've talked too much.
No, it's out about what both of you said. Just so many things start to stir there. I think we could talk for hours, but you know, David, what you're saying about that for us as followers of Jesus, that Jesus is everything. He's not just an answer; he's the answer, and that's what it's all about. And Joshua is like Christ. He's not Christ, but he's like Christ in the sense that Jesus came to drive evil out of creation, and that's what God calls the people of God to do. And I think there's something claiming that ground, saying evil, you've got no place here, and we're going to drive that out. But unlike Joshua, Jesus's weapons were wisdom and love and sacrifice, and for Joshua it was about shedding the blood of the enemy. For Jesus, about shedding his own blood, and the shift in the kingdom of how we live that out. And I think with what you're saying there, Ian, of the redeemed people of God living that way and being obedient to him, and I think living in light of that which is to come. We were, as a family, went to an air show last weekend, and it was D-Day. Sunday was D-Day. And I'd never really kind of thought about D-Day. You know, you learn about it growing up in school, but I read a little bit into it, and D-Day was the turning point of the Second World War for the Allied forces. So as the Nazis are encroaching, they're right there on the Normandy beaches, and circumstances and all that kind of stuff went in favor of the Allied forces, and they attacked and drove the Nazi occupiers back. That was the point. The person I was reading said that was the point the Second World War was won. It wasn't until, you know, months, maybe a year later, that we had VE Day, Victory in Europe Day, when the war actually was won. But that point was the turning point of everything. It was the linchpin of the shift of everything. Did people die in between the linchpin moment and the end? Yes, they did. Was it a battle? Yes, it was. But that moment transformed and changed everything to the point where they could live in hope of that which was to come. And I was reading that, and I couldn't help but just think, wow, this linchpin moment of Jesus at the center of this whole story, that on the cross, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, seated at the right hand of the Father, that moment and how that shapes how we live. But now we get to live in light of that which is to come and is certain, and it changes how we live. So, yeah, just significant moment for us last weekend in looking at this story of Joshua and Jesus. And so let's end with this. Time is running away, but let me end with this question. I've said during this season that this is not a season for us to claim to be experts, but we're explorers. And for God calling his people, it was into a land that they didn't know, that they looked, but they hadn't been. They'd not been that way before. And, you know, as elders, as pastors of the church, people can often come to us expecting the answers. And sometimes we get used to giving answers. And I think this is a safe place enough for us to say, none of us three are experts. We're all still learning in this journey with Jesus. And so with that in mind, what has this series so far, what has God been speaking into or showing you that's new in your life? And how is that changing how you're living? David, let's come to you.
You know, like, I suppose, as we've been going through Joshua, I suppose like most people reading a book, I like to take a quick peek at how it ends, you know, how it works out. And this one says, and they buried him within the borders of his inheritance, and then goes on to say, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord, which he, that's God, had done for Israel. God, I think for me, is showing me that my destiny, like every man or woman, is determined by my conformity or lack of conformity to him and his plan. He's saying, fear me. Don't fear man, because I'll never place you where my grace can't keep me. And that's a big thing. We tend to fear man. And that changes how we live. So for me, it's showing me, it's continuing to develop the habit of listening, trusting, walking in obedience. You know, which I think you, one week, John, talked about consecration, this two-sided coin of dedication, a God and me thing, which you talked about. And I think you quoted from The Message, and it was quite relevant. Romans 12, 1 and 2 say, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. And like the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I suppose that's consecration, that's holy living, because holiness for me is hearing what God says and doing it. You know, absolute obedience becomes absolute holiness. So my holiness and obedience equates to giving him time, worship, devotion, a relationship which produces good works. I suppose these are the things which the book of Joshua is showing me.
Mm. Within all of life.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
Very good. Yeah. Ian, same question.
Yeah. Interesting, really. You know, like maybe many who are listening to this, read this a few times over the years. But I think the thing that's really started to stand out to me really was this, the transition between Moses and Joshua. And so personally, really, what kind of leader do I want to be? I get the sense that Moses set Joshua up really well to lead, you know, and that transition point, it seems to be that he set the people up to receive Joshua as well. And so what do I want to be like when I'm Moses' age? Well, if I ever get to that age, you know.
Yeah.
Who am I holding on to things so tightly that I'm not willing to pass it on or get out of the way that God needs to, you know, That for me is a striking in the attitude both of Moses and Joshua. You know, in the end, I think we get is it in Joshua 24? You know, there's this, you know, this sense of Joshua having lived the full life of obedience and commitment to God. And I want to be that kind of leader. You know, so as a leader, that's kind of the things that are really resonating with me. But then I think the example that Joshua set to the people is amazing, really. You know, a courageous leader who it seems from these opening verses that we've been exploring where God needs to remind him three times to be strong and courageous. You know, so there wasn't a huge amount. Was there a huge amount of confidence in Joshua's ability, in his own ability to lead? I'm not sure. I don't know. Was he in the shadow of Moses? Possibly, but he seems to have come through that to go, okay, now this is who you've called me to be, God. Therefore, I'm going to lead out of that. Not try and be Moses, learn from Moses, but I'm not Moses. Moses is dead. Here is Joshua, you know. And I think I don't want to be the kind of leader that overshadows those that I'm developing so that they don't feel like they can be themselves. I don't think I am, but I don't ever want to get to that point where that could be true. And I think again those words, be strong and courageous, I don't think we can skip over those. You know, three times in three verses, be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous, be strong and courageous are repeated. I personally is going to take this journey that we're on. I think the stuff that we've talked about as elders, the things that we believe that God's stirring in our hearts, strong and courageous. I think that the responsibility on us then is for, you know, the church to demonstrate what that looks like with humility, but also to help create people who are strong and courageous, not in our own ability, but in that which God has promised.
I think it's some words over our church during this season, in the unknown of what God is calling Joshua into, the command to be strong and courageous. And we know Joshua was strong and courageous. I mean, you read Numbers and he is the one on the battlefield fighting while his friends that he has chosen, the army he's chosen, are dying around him. When Moses' arms are raised, they're winning. When these arms fall, that's Joshua fighting in that moment. So he knew how to be strong and courageous. But this was something new that God was calling them into, and there's something new that is needed in that season.
I think it's different when you're so there's a difference when you're leading something. And I know this isn't a leadership seminar, but actually Joshua as a soldier, and somebody under the command of Moses who would do anything for Moses. You know, I think there was that sense of like commitment, wasn't there, and a trusted. You're right. When he's comfortable in something, almost easy to be strong and courageous, but that's stepping out into something new, a new level of responsibility, a new territory. I think there's some sort of maybe you're right, Joe. Maybe God's picking up on some of the, look, Joshua, you know, recognize who you are and what I've called you to do, what I've done in the past. But this is a new level of responsibility. I think there's lessons we can learn from the past.
Absolutely. I think you're right, stepping into that new ground, that reminder, but also, you know, this is going to be challenging for all of us stepping into this new season as a church. The world that is around us, it's a challenge, and the call of God to be strong and courageous, and letting that call invade all of our life, as you're saying, David, that consecration of holiness of us, allowing God to speak that, just be strong and courageous in who I'm calling you to be. And I think, you know, just summing up as well, Ian, what you said about one generation, you know, preparing things for the next and that passing on. I think as a church, I was praying the other day and just started praying, God, that we would claim some stuff now that saves the next generation having to contend for it. That our kids won't have to contend for certain things that they don't need to, because as a generation before, we've claimed it in God, you know, not putting the flag down in our name, but we've done some stuff now in God that it gives an inheritance to our kids, that they don't have to contend for it, but they can use that to, as the launch pad for what God's calling them into. And I think we need to be reminded. I think for me, Joshua is one of those reminders that you know, God's promise was generations before to Abraham, and he works through generations, doesn't he? We like to see God working in the moment right now, but he works through generations. And we need to be reminded by that, that how God works and his plan and what he's calling us as a generation to be in this season.
He's
got for us.
Yeah, I was looking this morning. I can't remember the verse. Being an old guy, it was, now I'm old and grey, please don't leave me. Mm. In other words, until I've passed on everything you have for me to the next generation. Is the essence of it, you know.
Yeah. Great guys, thanks so much and appreciate you both, and let's enjoy the adventure that God's got us on in this season, and let's look forward to what he's going to speak through the book of Joshua. So thank you for sharing your wisdom this morning. Well, we hope you enjoyed the conversation with us as elders and pastors, just unpacking a little bit of where we're at with Joshua. We're going to continue our Joshua series. We're kind of going to dip in and out of it. There might be some mini series that we sort of focus on as we go through it. Just really sense God is speaking into us as a church family during this season. So we're going to finish. We're just going to pray for you. I'm hoping you've been encouraged by God's presence with us this morning. And as we've just dived into God's word, and just you can see how God's story is something that he's inviting us to be part of, and that you get to be part of it in the here and now. And so I'm praying that we would live every moment as citizens of that which is to come. May we step into that which is to come right here and right now, breaking heaven into the here and now, allowing King Jesus and his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And so Holy Spirit, will you just fill each one of us and send us out in the power of your name, with your grace, your compassion, your love, for the sake of those around us, that we would live with that which is of you and your kingdom and eternal life, but break it into the here and now, and we'd step into that inheritance in each moment. So we're praying God's blessing over you this week, and enjoy the sunshine. And if some of you are watching some random thing that's happening this afternoon with some England team that I've heard are playing, I don't know anything about it, but if you're enjoying something called football, then stay safe and enjoy it, and enjoy the weather, and we'll speak to you all and see you all soon. God bless.